What's up, No Nation? I'm Jesse. This is Michael from Plant the Spear. We're coming to you guys with another episode, ready to talk about a couple of different topics today. We're going to cover just some initial thoughts on the ACC Championship game. Excited to be back in Charlotte to watch the Noles play for the conference crown this Saturday. We're going to have a full preview for you guys coming later in this week. So we're just going to kind of dip our toes into that one to start with. And then we're going to talk about the CFP rankings coming out. Obviously, this is kind of a hot topic every week. Florida State's in, then they're out. Now they hopefully are back in. So we're going to share some thoughts about that as well. And then I feel like in the last episode, Michael, we didn't do a good enough job of kind of dumping some trash on the Florida Gators from the win last week. So we're going to take a few minutes just to kind of rub that in a little bit more. But Michael, my friend, how are you? Thanks for joining me.
Hey, thanks for having me again, Jesse. Good to be back with Plant the Spear. Yeah, man, we move on. We finished the regular season 12-0, only the fourth team in Florida State history to do it, only the sixth time in Florida State history has a team gone undefeated in the regular season. So it's a big deal. We don't want to gloss over that. Also, we don't want to gloss over dumping on Florida and beating those Gators in that trash dump of a stadium and everything that went in with that. So, yeah, I love, can't wait to talk about that. And then, of course, the college football playoffs and just kind of some of the implications that this weekend is a big game. I don't want anybody to gloss over how big it is for us to reclaim the throne of the ACC. We went undefeated, the only team to do it in the ACC, but now we need the championship to solidify that. So big game this weekend, man.
Definitely. I think that it's kind of like the cherry on top, and it just wouldn't be the same Sunday without it. You know what I mean? The same ice cream Sunday. Because the thing is, like, it comes after this game, after the Florida game, and then it's kind of sitting there in the middle. Like, I'm not going to call it a trap game because it's a conference championship game, but it sits, you know, potentially before a playoff run. So it kind of just, in a way, it feels like it's the smallest game in the next month or so, but it's one of the biggest because it's been a while since Florida State has been able to put that trophy in their trophy case. And I think it's really important. We were talking about this in the pre-show that it's just like, man, this is the year. You're 12-0. You finally got past Clemson for the first time in a long time. You really want to be able to cap this off and to be able to say you actually won something hardware-wise. So this is a huge game this Saturday. Ready to talk about that. But it comes on the heels of a big rivalry win over Florida. And, man, we talked about it early on, you know, in the breakdown show where it didn't look great to start with. But then, you know, once you get past the first half, really about the first quarter and a half, because it was still 0-0 at the end of the first quarter. But when you talk about into the first half and then rolling into the second half, Florida State really kind of ran over Florida in that game. And I put out a tweet earlier today about some different drive stats where Florida, their first four drives were very successful. Their last seven drives or their first seven were successful than their last four. They didn't do anything.
Correct.
They didn't do nothing. Negative 3 yards. You held them to negative yards in the fourth quarter. So they did a great job. And I feel like we just didn't celebrate the Gators' accomplishment of missing a bowl this year because,
My goodness,
the pressure is off for Billy Napier. You don't have to worry about kicking any field goals down by 30 points this year. So it's got to be a great time in Gainesville.
That's right. Absolutely. Look, they can all go back home, get on their couches, trailer parks, wherever they're at, and they can enjoy watching all the other teams as they do so much win games. And then they can, you know, they can be all sad and whatnot with themselves. But yeah, like they're not going to a bowl game. It's a 5-7 season. I mean, this is the third straight 7-loss season in their program. I mean, they haven't lost three straight. They haven't had three straight 7-loss seasons since like the invention of bread. I mean, I don't even know, man. Like, this is terrible.
Right. And what's funny too is somebody said the other day, because man, I'm telling you, that post that I put on Facebook about FSU runs this state, changed the sign in the Florida Stadium. Man, it's got them in shambles. They are pissed about that. They are pissed about that graphic. So, like, they're in there talking about, oh, you say all this after four straight losing seasons. And I'm like, yeah, but we won 10 games last year.
Correct.
We won. We're 12-0 now, and Florida's in their third consecutive losing season, and they haven't won the conference or national title in 16 years. So, like, don't talk to me about who's not doing anything. The only thing they're doing is trying to call the police on us for having traditions and cutting a little bit of sod, you know, just because we didn't invent tradition 5 years ago of singing Tom Petty at the fourth quarter, we won't back down, and then going for negative yards in the fourth quarter. So you did back down. You backed right on down. So, yeah, man, it's funny. Like, we didn't pile on them enough, and then you talk about the tough schedule they have in 2024 coming up. It's probably going to be another bad year. So,
and this is why they won't. This is why they won't fire. You know, I know there are people out there calling for Billy Napier's head. But what coach in their right mind is taking over this program with that schedule?
Yeah, you're not going to have success.
No, you're looking at least 4 to 5 losses in that schedule, and that's right. that's just the bare minimum. And depending on what this team looks like, you're looking at least 4 to 5 losses next season.
Yeah, you just need to let Billy ride it out for one more year, see what happens, and you know, see what they do in recruiting. But you know, I have to give a shout out to somebody on Twitter. I'm not sure where I saw it, but I saw probably the best analogy I've seen for the state of Florida currently this year, really over the last couple of years. But I have to shout out this tweet. Like I said, credit to whoever sent it out, but it says, Florida and Miami fans are like a homeless person looking into your house and making fun of the furniture. that is the perfect analogy. Like you haven't won anything, but like you see them going on social media and talking about, oh, well, you guys are going to get it handed to you by Georgia in the playoffs. It'd be like, you said we were going to do what in the playoffs while you're sitting on your couch watching? Like, I don't care what you have to say. It doesn't matter. You can discredit us all you want. We're 12-0 going for the conference championship, and you're going to be sitting on your couch for bowl season.
And listen, they need to stay home, you know, because they've been sick. You know, you saw in the game that, you know, when they weren't feeling well, so they start spitting everywhere and they transmit no bolas. So, you know, they be transmitting no bolas, no bowls. So you get it there. Yeah.
It's funny, man. I love it. And, you know, one thing that I love about Mike Norvell, too, I was watching his press conference today. And it was funny. I watched when they were talking a lot about the Florida game going back last week. And I saw him say one thing. They were talking about overcoming the adversity that they had in that game. And I heard Norvell, you know, he doesn't mention those two schools by name. He just won't do it.
Right.
And I heard it. Never. He said something in the press conference. You could tell he wanted to say the Swamp. He said something about down. It was good to get a win down there in the.
Yeah.
And then he stumbled for a minute. And then he said, as the visiting team. And I was like, that's my guy. Like, he won't even say the Swamp. He won't say Florida. He won't say Miami. So it's like, it's awesome, man, because he knows how much it means to this fan base, to this program, to win those. And now you've won 2 in a row over your rivals. So, man, it's a great time to just celebrate that. Like I said, we want to take a few minutes to dump on them. But I do bring that up for a reason as we get ready to transition into the ACC championship game talk. Is, I know on the last episode, I might have been a little harsh on the offense, a little harsh on Tate. I get it. It wasn't the greatest performance, you know, 134, whatever yards, 12 of 25. It just wasn't a great game. But we know that there was a lot of things where people didn't step up around him, didn't make some contested catches that they should have. But, you know, since then, I got to kind of thinking about things. And I was like, you know, Michael, I do think that the offense will take a step forward in this game, the ACC championship game. I think Tate will take a step forward because the one thing that Tate didn't have was game experience. Like, you can talk about he's a four-year starter, or not a four-year starter, but a four-year player in the system. He's been practicing. He's in this offense for a long time.
He's come in a couple games. Yeah.
But you can't replace game experience
without
playing in games. And it just is what it is. And so when you talk about somebody's very first start, you have to go into a sold-out 90,000-seat stadium with a team who is going to give you their best shot no matter what, because we're talking about in pre-show, they've looked like they quit in a few games, but they're not. They're going to give 110% effort in this game. You get rocked on a play, and you still come back in and finish. I feel like just now that you have that start under your belt, that confidence of getting that road win, and now you have some things you can go back on tape and coach him up and look at, I think you're going to see a big – step up into the ACC championship. I'm not saying he's going to go out and throw for 350 and 4 touchdowns, but I think it's just going to look smoother.
Right.
And then post ACC championship game, you'll have 2 games under your belt. You have a month to prepare. I think you're going to see that maturation from Tate as he just gets that game experience that, again, you can't get besides playing in a game.
Right. Yeah. And I absolutely agree with you. Like, and we're not trying to make excuses for, there are definitely things that Tate has to clean up. His game awareness has to get better. This has been a knock on Tate since the day he got to Florida State, is he has very poor game awareness in the situation to know when he needs to run, when he needs to throw the ball away, when he needs to make faster checks at the line, all those things. But those things can only get better with actual game played. And the other thing I'll say to this, just as a little, you know, let's give him a little bit of a break here, is I don't care who you are. I do not care who you are. if it was Jameis Winston and his very first start was at the Swamp at night with 90,000 crazy lunatics screaming at his head off, he might even have a little bit of a struggle in that game, at least for the first quarter or so. I don't care who the best quarterback is. Caleb Williams, Michael Penix, you know, J.J. McCarty, Kyle McCord from Ohio State. I mean, you take these top quarterbacks, Kaysen Beck from Georgia, you take them, you put them in the Swamp at night, their very first start, I guarantee you they're not going to look their best to begin that game. But what we did see, though, is as the game moved on, Tate got better. He got quicker in his throws. He got quicker in his reads. He started to somewhat manage the offense better. He made some really, really important throws that, you know, that fourth down to Ja'Kai Douglas, that seam route to Jaheim Bell, you know, some of the throws to Johnny, some of those things. He started reading those things better. You know, Mike Norvell talked about how that last touchdown that Trey Benson had, that was a Tate Rodemaker check. Tate got them into that play. They were going to run something completely. It was a pass. They had Mike said that he sent in four plays. He sent that in, and then Tate was to make the check at the line. Tate got him into the right play that got that basically break open touchdown to break the game open there. That shows you that as the game moves on, Tate is gaining those experience. These games are so valuable to him. Yep. So are there things for him to clean up? You bet your bottom dollar. There's so much for him to clean up. But also at the same time, you can see the progress that's happening.
Yep. Yeah, and that's something that Mike Norvell talked about as well in the press conferences. He knows there was mistakes. He knows that Tate did not play a perfect game. But again, now you're talking about where you have an actual game film to go back and look at this week and say, listen, man, you know, it's one thing to do it in practice, but it's another thing, like you said, to do it when you got 90,000 people screaming down your neck, and then you can go, hey, you turned left, you should have turned right. This was your first read, not this one. So now you can start to coach those things up, and then you can back it up in another game experience. He gets another week as the starter to prepare. So I do think you will see Tate start to get a little better, because I feel like that was one of the things when you saw Tate really didn't have a great performance, and Florida State kind of had to claw back in that game. That's when we get to the rankings portion of thing. This game's not being looked at like all the other struggle fests around the country. So we'll talk about that too. But on the last point I do want to say on this, as we get ready to talk about Florida State Louisville a little bit here, I did take a note that the important part of that is realizing that he went in that tough environment and did that. And that's great. And that causes some problems of its own when you're talking about playing in front of 90,000 people. But then I got to thinking about it. I'm like, okay, well, if you think about whatever the case is going forward, whether it's two games, three games, whatever the case may be, the ACC championship, that's a neutral site game where Florida State should have a minimum of 50-50, probably, let's be honest, 60-40 or something like that as far as the crowd. If you go to the Orange Bowl or a playoff game or a national championship game, those are not home games.
Nope.
Those are going to be neutral sites in Florida State. We know travels well. So he's never, at least in 2023, he's never going to have to go into that type of environment and overcome that again. So, like, man, that's trial by fire. I know Florida doesn't have a great defense, but, you know, with the effort that they played in and the environment that they played in, that was trial by fire for Tate. He passed the test, and now we can move forward. And hopefully you just see that week over week. You know, they say teams get better, the most improvement from week one to week two. So hopefully we see a lot of improvement out of Tate this week. And, you know, he has a thing for beating Louisville. So that'll be
– he does.
Right? And like we said, you know, he can take advantage of those mismatches. And Burnt Toast Brownlee is still with Louisville. So I'm sure, you know, a couple people will have this game circled this year. But, Michael, man, I'm just so excited to be back in the ACC Championship. Yeah. I'm excited for the Florida State to be in Charlotte. I probably worn this out 100 times telling you guys, you know, I live in the Charlotte area. I moved up here in 2014. Coincidentally, the last time we made the ACC championship game. So I've kind of been waiting forever. Like, half the reason I chose Charlotte over Raleigh and all that was because I was like, well, I'll at least get a de facto home game about every other year, every third year or so. And, you know, it's been a bit of a dry spell. So I'm definitely ready to see a home game less than an hour from where I live. So, man, I'm just excited. I think it's a good opportunity for Florida State to kind of get back on top of things, to really kind of cement that we're back mentality. I know it takes more than winning the conference, but it's something you haven't done in a really long time. And, you know, we're talking about pre-show. I know beating your rivals are big, but if you don't win the conference the year that you have the conference in a chokehold, you'd feel like you just kind of left something out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Sorry. Yeah, you know, I kind of what I said to you in the pre-show is that, you know, if you go, if you beating Florida and Florida's beating Florida and Miami is beneficial for recruiting long term. Winning the ACC championship is beneficial long term, yes, but more so beneficial now. Because if you do, if you don't win this game, and let's say you go on to win a bowl game, you know, I think bowl games outside of the playoffs are basically moral victories in and of themselves. They're basically participation trophies. Yeah, we had fun. We're glad we won it. But, you know, what do they really mean in the long scheme of things, right?
Right.
The ACC championship is, again, it's the, as you said, it's the icing on the cake. It solidifies your dominance that you own the conference, that you are on the throne of this conference. If Louisville wins it, you can say, well, they didn't go undefeated in the regular season. Yeah, but they beat you in the conference championship.
Yeah.
So the record books will always say 2023 Louisville sat on the throne of the ACC, regardless of what you win. So, yeah, you've got to win the ACC title.
Yeah, and this was the year that you felt like you could do it. You had the team to do it this year. You got, I'm not going to say fortunate because you beat Clemson, but Clemson had a terrible year. There was no divisions this year.
Right.
Everything's set up for you to win it this year. So you really kind of want to be able to take advantage of that. And you get to play Louisville. You don't even have the rematch against Clemson, which, I mean, this might be a tougher game than Clemson, but, you know, who knows? But, yeah, I just feel like this is the one where you lose a lot going forward. Now, we feel like Florida State is not going to fall back off. Like, they're probably – now, of course, everything, the whole conversation changes next year because it's 12-team playoffs. So Florida State could be 10-2 and make the playoffs. But when you talk about a national championship, a legit contender, you don't expect that out of Florida State next year. Now, you expect them to be able to contend for the conference title again next year because they're building that talent base. But this was the year you had to do it. So I think it's ever important for Florida State to get this one because, you know, if you lose this game, it's going to be all the talking heads. They're already trying to get on you for the playoffs already, but then they're going to come out and say, eh, it's just the same old Florida State, can't get over the hump. So it's huge, man. This is really big for this program. It's big for Mike Norvell's proof of concept that what they're doing is working. Obviously, the 12-0 season is proof enough, but again, like you said, if you don't win this game, it's not much different than the 10-3 season you had last year. You didn't actually put hardware in the trophy case, so you really just want to win this. But like I told you guys, we're going to do a full on preview Wednesday, so we're not going to get too far into it, but we are going to take a quick look at this matchup. So let's take a look. Florida State versus Louisville. Just a quick look ahead here. So Florida State has 15 ACC titles, looking at going for their 16th title. Now, it is fair to say that they've been in the conference a lot longer than Louisville. I think Louisville joined something like 2014, maybe. They haven't been very long. No ACC titles. They have not played in the ACC championship game yet either. Of course, you know, they were in the Atlantic division as well, so they were kind of always logjammed behind a lot of the better teams as well. If they were in the Coastal, they probably would have played in it a few times. But Florida State has a 4-1 record in the ACC championship game, so that is encouraging to know as well. Yeah. They have done well in that game. Florida State, we know, comes in undefeated 12-0, 8-0 in the ACC. Louisville comes in at 10-2, 7-1 in the ACC. Of course, we know they had that embarrassing loss at home against Kentucky, the last game of the season. That's one that was really disappointing for us as well. Now, to touch on that real quick, I don't have rankings here because we don't know what they're going to be in the college football playoff ranking, but they did. We talked about this in the last show. Even though they lost, they were number 10, so they're not going to fall out of the rankings. In the AP poll, they went to, I believe, 15. So you would think that they're probably going to be close to that in the CFP rankings. So still, you're talking about getting a top 20 win here by Florida State if you're able to beat Louisville. So your scoring offense, Florida State comes in 38.8 points a game, 10th in the country. Scoring offense for Louisville, 33 points a game, 32nd in the country. Your scoring defense, allowing 16.8 points a game for FSU, 11th in the country. And for Louisville, they're giving up around 20 points a game, 25th in the country. Turnover margin, Florida State is, man, they're killing it this year. Plus 11 in turnover, tied for 5th. So that could be big in this game. Now, Louisville's not been terrible. They are plus 3. As long as you're positive, that's doing pretty well. Tied for 40th there. Now, I got a couple notable games on here. Obviously, you guys, I didn't have enough. For those of you not watching on the podcast, I have a slide up on the YouTube channel right now as we go through this. I didn't have enough room to list the whole schedule. That'll be on Wednesday. But Florida State, you talk about some notable games. They dominated a currently still ranked Louisville team. Louisiana State, LSU, still top 15, dominated them. The only team to go into Death Valley and beat Clemson this year. They beat Pitt 24-7 without two wide receivers. And the reason I have this noted is because you see on the other side of things, Louisville lost at Pitt 38-21. That was kind of the black eye under schedule. And then I have down here the 24-15 win at UF. And the reason I have an asterisk by it is it wasn't a notable game, so to speak, but Tate Rodemaker, that was his first start as the FSU quarterback, and he goes in and wins in the swamp. Now, when you look over at Louisville, they did get a big win, 33-20 against Notre Dame. That was a game I honestly didn't think they were going to win. That was the one where it's like they don't play a hard schedule, but that one is going to be a good test, and they won. They beat Virginia Tech 34-3. Is Virginia Tech a great team? No, they're 6-6, but they blew the brakes off of them 34-3. Then, of course, the two losses that are just kind of inexplainable, the 38-21 at Pitt and 38-31 versus Kentucky at home. And Michael, the thing that we talk about when we talk about this Louisville team is we were talking in the pre-show a little bit. They seem the one thing that worries me in the ACC championship game is like they seem to play up to the competition, and then they seem to really kind of stink up the joint whenever they play bad teams. They had a tight game against UVA. They had some tight games. You know, they lost to Pitt, who's terrible. They had a tight game against Georgia Tech, and they had a tight game against NC State while NC State was still kind of struggling to figure out their quarterback situation. So, you know, they beat Duke, who was ranked 23-0. Of course, Duke's a different team. They didn't have Riley Leonard in that game, but they do seem to play up to the competition and down to the competition. So I think Florida State's going to have to come ready for a fight. Like I said, we won't get too deep into this, but just give me some of your first overall thoughts on this game.
Yeah, listen, Louisville's a good team. I've watched several of their games, obviously scouting some of Florida State's opponents, watching, and then they've had similar games. They're a good team. Jeff Brohm is a decent coach. I mean, he was at Western Kentucky. I mean, he had them. I don't think he had a losing season there. Maybe once or twice. But then, you know, he went. He actually, interesting enough, his last season at Western Kentucky, he got the Purdue job, but his Western Kentucky team faced Mike Norvell's first Memphis team in a bowl game. And so Mike and Jeff know each other. They're friends or acquaintances or whatever. But that was the only time that a Jeff Brohm coached team, even though he didn't coach in that game, played against Mike Norvell. But then he went to Purdue. He struggled there a little bit. But then, you know, at the end, I think the last season he had him at 8-4, and they were able to go to the Big Ten championship game, which they got blown out by Michigan. And so he's a decent coach. You know, I lived in Louisville for a time. That's where I, you know, went to college at, met my wife in Owensboro there. And so everybody knows of the Brohm family. One of the most creative offensive play callers out there, offensive minds. I put him right behind Mike Norvell. So you know that offense is gonna have some things. He said it in his ACC championship media availability last night that, you know, there are gonna be some things that they're gonna show Florida State that they believe Florida State hadn't seen yet. So the defense is what he's talking about. So they're gonna show some things on offense that Florida State's defense hasn't seen. And then they're gonna do what they do. They try to run the ball. They're a power run team. They try to spread out when they can. You know, Jake Plummer, you know, he's not a great quarterback, but he's also not a terrible one. You know, he is prone to making mistakes. He is good for a turnover. You know, that's what happened with that Pitt game. I think he had 4 interceptions that game. I might be wrong, but I know I feel like there were 4 turnovers, and I feel like they were all interceptions. But so, yeah, I think, you know, Florida State's going to have to, on offense, you know, they're going to see a 5-man front. Ron English, if you guys remember Ron English, he used to be the defensive coordinator at Michigan way back in 2008. And he was a Louisville defensive coordinator years ago. He was the Eastern Michigan head coach. He runs what is called a bear front, which is like always five guys on the line of scrimmage. And then he's going to bring some different blitzes to you. They're not going to blitz. Well, I say historically this season, they don't blitz as much as what we saw against Florida, what we saw against Miami. But, you know, he might change it up because it's Tate, you know, back there. He's probably seen how the offensive line is played, and maybe he thinks that's probably going to be the best thing. But I would imagine he's not going to blitz as much as those other two programs have. What I will say, though, is if we can hold up on the line, and we can run a little bit, we probably won't be able to run as great, as good as we would like to. But if we can run a little bit, once you get the ball past those linebackers, I mean, We don't call him burnt toast Brownlee for no reason. That right. That Louisville secondary is suspect, to say the least. You know, very much like Florida's was, and we didn't really take advantage of that because, again, you know, Keon and Johnny and those receivers didn't step up as much as we thought they should. They're going to have to step up. They're going to have to make some contested catches because Louisville will play. They'll press man you. They will be up in your face. You know, they'll play inside leverage. They're going to try to force you to go outside. Tate's going to have to make some back shoulder throws, you know, but man, we need those receivers to step up. This is going to be a game. I don't foresee. Yeah. I see this game getting into the fourth quarter for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be a dogfight. And the thing is, man, it's been really impressive what he's been able to do in year one without his players in the system. Now, I don't know what they did in the portal. They probably got some guys there, but you know,
25 players,
and that's just the way it works nowadays. Yeah. But you know, you think back to when he was at Purdue, they did upset. I believe it was like a top ranked, one of the top five Ohio State teams.
Yep.
They, you know, so you worry about it. I mean, they're going to be ready. I mean, this is a better team than Florida.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking a little bit in the pre-show. If you were to swap schedules, I don't think they're 10-2, and I don't think Florida's probably 5-7.
Right.
But you know, this is probably a better coach team. Maybe not quite as talented when you just look at it as far as blue chip ratios go, obviously. Right. But they're a team that you got to come ready to play. And it's going to be, I mean, they're going to want to win just as bad as you. So they're going to be, you know, they're going to be their backs against the wall a little bit after that Kentucky game. They don't have the pressure that Florida State has where you're trying to vie for a playoff spot. You know, their season, this is free football for them because outside of this, their season, they're not playing for anything besides the ACC championship. They, you know, maybe a spot in a New Year's Six Bowl. So, I mean, there's a lot on the line for both teams, but the pressure is on Florida State to win this one. But man, I'm really excited about watching this game. I think it's a good opportunity for Florida State in a game that they should be able to win. I mean, they should be able to come out and win this one. You know, like you said, they got a tough run defense, but their secondary is a little suspect. So it would be nice to see the pass game get in rhythm. But I mean, like I said, guys, we're going to do a full-on preview on Wednesday. So we're going to save some of this for that show too. We're not going to kind of put it all in this one. But with that being said, guys, we're going to turn our attention to the college football playoff rankings. But before we do that, I'm just going to bring you a quick word from today's sponsor. This is a new one that I haven't read you guys yet. And there's someone that we've been working with for a while. If you're watching on YouTube, they make the shirt that I'm wearing right now is Roback. And they make some awesome stuff. And I was really excited when I got to partner with them, because you really can tell the quality, and it is just, it sets them apart. The hoodie that I have, the shirt that I have, you can, as soon as you put it on, you can feel the difference, and you guys can get it at a great price. You know, Christmas is coming up and you want to check that all these guys off your list. Well, even if you don't like Florida State, I don't know why you'd be watching the show, but they have so many fun designs, from ice cream car trucks to you know, golden retrievers to golf carts. They have a design for pretty much everybody, and you can get it at a great price with code SPEAR. It's going to get you 20% off your first order. So check that out, roback.com, promo code SPEAR. I'll link it below to make it easier for you guys. So check that out. This is called the Tally, by the way, if you want to look this one up. So let's get into these CFP rankings now. I will say, when you talk about overall the CFP rankings, I don't think we're going to see anything super crazy this week. Obviously, there's going to be some movement because you had a team lose. So some, you have to shuffle the deck to a degree here. The one thing that's going to drive me nuts about these playoff rankings is I'm just interested to see how things go for FSU, because when you talk about what happened last Saturday, Florida State, the win didn't look great, and I feel like it's going to get treated different than a lot of the other struggle games that we saw around the country. This is something we talked about last week. But Florida State, I know the spread gets adjusted for, you know, the situation at hand. The spread was 6.5 because they knew you were going into the swamp. You were a much better team, but you had a backup quarterback. But you still went and covered. So you did what you won how you were expected to. And a lot of teams did not cover. Georgia didn't cover. Alabama didn't cover. Washington didn't cover. So you had a number of teams that did not cover the spread. And, you know, when you talk about Alabama and Washington, and I believe Georgia was too, they were all double digit favorites and had really close games. I think even Georgia was like 24.5 or something like that. So it was
we're basically at full strength, basically.
Right. You were the only one to play like that with a backup quarterback. But, you know, again, things are going to get looked at differently. Like, I saw a graphic that even 247 put out today that was talking about a nightmare scenario for the playoff committee.
Yes.
And they had like all the one loss teams, and then they had an undefeated Florida State with a little thing underneath it that said
barely squeak by.
if they beat Louisville close. And it's like, why does Florida State always have to have an asterisk right by our name? Why is our game, why is undefeated for Florida State treated differently than undefeated for any other team? I mean, you're talking about Auburn, who got housed by New Mexico State the week before and then comes in and hangs with Alabama. That's not another team that even think about this too. When I was going back and taking some notes, that's another team that Georgia struggled to beat.
Yes. Yes. So again, and they didn't just hang with them. They literally had the game won, with the exception of a 4th-and-31 absolute miracle. Pray to God. Hope he answers play. And so it's like, but oh, that's okay because they're the SEC. But Florida right State covering the spread with a backup quarterback going into the swamp, 90,000 people, and still winning that game was in the SEC. But oh no, that didn't look very good. Mm-mm.
Right. And it's annoying, man, because it's been the narrative all season how Florida State wins close against BC despite having the flu and all this stuff. You know, right about the same time, Georgia has a struggle game against Auburn and it's a gritty conference win. Yeah. It's just things are treated differently. So I feel like Florida State, while you could have used some style points, I'm not disagreeing with that. Yes, and I think you have an opportunity to back that up with the top 15-ish, 20. We'll see where Louisville lands. They'll have a chance to back that game up with a good win in the ACC championship game. You just do worry about some funny business. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But I think you've had enough people come out with, you know, just holding the line for Florida State, basically. Like, if they win, they're in. You've had some pretty big names coming out and saying that. So we're going to see how things shake out tomorrow night, but we're going to kind of give some of our thoughts on it. Now, do keep in mind, this is all going to change after Saturday because there's some pretty big games. Well, it won't all change. We'll depend. But we're going to look at some of the big games coming up this weekend in conference championship Saturday. Now, I did have to use the rankings from the last CFP poll. These obviously will change because we don't have the rankings yet.
Correct.
So you had the Pac-12 championship, Washington against Oregon Friday. That's a Friday game. So we'll get to see that
pretty quickly.
Yep, you'll get to see that one. And Oregon is actually favored by 9.5 in that game. So I'm thinking
I have not seen the spread yet. Holy cow. Man,
I'm thinking that they're thinking that first game was a fluke.
Wow. Right?
I think they just think that first game was a fluke. And you know, I will say this. I know we're going to go through our teams, and I have a stat on Washington that I want to share with you. But I'll let the cat out of the bag now. I saw someone put something out earlier where Washington has now had 8 consecutive wins by 10 points or less, which is the longest streak in the AP poll era.
Wow.
So they have won more tight games in a row than basically any other team. So it's just they have good wins, but they're just not impressive wins. So, but let's continue on with some of these games. So you get the Big 12 championship, number 7, Texas against number 20, Oklahoma State. They're favored by 14 points. They should win that game. But again, it's probably, you know, it's going to be a ranked matchup. I'm not sure if Oklahoma State won that their last game or not. So they may not even be ranked in that one. Then the big one. This is the one you really got to keep an eye on besides Florida State, Louisville, of course. And that's number 1, Georgia against current number 8, Alabama. Georgia is a 5-point favorite. But, you know, you can never count out Nick Saban. They were playing really bad in the beginning of the season. They've really kind of found their footing. And that's the only game, Michael, that is pretty much it, where I worry about if an upset happens, you got to sweat just a little bit. And I still think Florida State's in, but that's the only one I'm concerned about. You get Michigan versus Iowa in the Big Ten championship. That, I mean, goodness gracious, 23-point dog there for Iowa. So that's not looking too good for them. Then you get number 5, Florida State, versus number 10. We know that's going to change, but probably a top 15 Louisville team. Florida State is favored by 3, so a little bit tight there. But, yeah, man, there's some big game implications this Saturday and Friday as well. But just when you talk about these teams, man, I feel like if Washington loses, they're for sure out. I think if Oregon wins,
they
play their way in. I think that Ohio State, actually, man, the thing about Ohio State, their offense is pretty terrible. But they, when you talk about resume-wise, and we're going to look at resumes in a second, they probably deserve to be in over Oregon, but they're not going to have the opportunity for that conference championship game. They're not going to have that extra resume booster, and Oregon is. And that's why I think it was so important for the ACC to go do away with divisions this year and to get to that, the two best teams actually play, because now you've kind of locked, you know, you've locked Ohio State out. We were talking in the pre-show, like, if Big Ten did away with divisions and you now had a rematch between Michigan and Ohio State a week later, Ohio State could play themselves back into the playoffs.
Correct.
Because, you know, Oregon just, they're 11-1 and their only loss came to a playoff team. But when you look at their wins, it's just not impressive. They just haven't really played anybody.
Well, yeah. I mean, and it's just, the thing is, it's like, well, in the history of the college, since the college playoffs have been put together. There's been what? There's been 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 iterations of this. There has never been a college football playoff where a Power Five conference champion, whether undefeated or one loss, that was there were ranked up there, did not make the playoffs if they were ranked in the where they needed to be, right? So Ohio, so if Oregon wins, let's say Oregon beats Washington, Oregon has precedent on their side, even though they have one loss, and even though you would say, well, Ohio State has the better record, but Oregon has the conference championship. And so they're the committee has never before, so it would they would be setting precedent by putting Ohio State in over Oregon to be in the college football playoff. Well, then the logical question or comment that would probably come from all the biases out there would be, well, then just leave Florida State out because Oregon and Ohio State have a better record. Okay, but here's the thing. Also, too, since the college football playoff has been enacted, so seven iterations of this, there have been 12 Power Five undefeated teams, and all 12 have made the playoffs.
Yeah, okay. And then you add in Ohio State with the backup quarterback because I do feel like that's what people are really hanging their hat on, and that that's not supposed to count because it is playoff teams, not playoff players.
Correct.
And I feel like people are using Tate as a crutch to leave Florida State out, but you know, again, you saw Ohio State win a national championship with a backup, so that foundation has been laid too.
Well, they went. So think about that. They went in. You know, they lost JT Barrett. So Cardale Jones, third stringer, comes in, helps them win the what? Big Ten championship.
Yep.
And then they got in. Again, no Power Five school that was at that part of the ranking that had an ability to get in did not get in without a conference championship. So there are two precedents that are already working against Ohio State right there. If Oregon wins, they're not getting in over, at least in my opinion, based on the precedents that those committees have set, they're not getting in over Oregon. Ohio State's not. And they're definitely not getting in over an undefeated Power Five conference champion Florida State. So,
no. Yeah. And that's why I said, man, and we'll look at some resumes real quick, but that's why I feel like the Georgia-Alabama game is the only one that concerns me because when you talk about the precedence of an undefeated Power Five champion or whatever, you know, not getting in or getting in every time, well, then it does create the problem of, like, first off, do you think ESPN is going to leave the SEC out of the playoffs?
No, they're not.
But that's probably not going to happen. But I will say that, like, I think Georgia gets the credit because they're a back-to-back national champion. And you have to give them some credit for that, but it doesn't do anything for what happened in 2023. Now, you could look at they have two of the best wins this season when you talk about a dominating win over Ole Miss, who's top 15 still currently, and then they beat a top 10 Mizzou team. But they did a lot of that at home. Then they beat Tennessee. Yeah. I don't think Tennessee is going to be ranked anymore, but they, you know, they blew them out. So they have really good wins, and it looked like they were peaking at the right time. Now, you keep in mind with that Georgia Tech game, it was 31-13 going into the fourth quarter. They did not use Brock Bowers in that game. But I say all that, Michael, to say that they have a couple of good wins. But if you talk about just 2023 alone, the struggle against Auburn, the struggle against South Carolina, where you were trailing it by two scores at halftime, you beat Vandy 37-20. Well, 4-8 Wake Forest beat Vandy 36-20. So you had kind of a lot of stinker games in there. And if you're not the conference champion, in my opinion, Georgia deserves to be left out.
Yeah, I would. I know this is hard for those who are diehard SEC fans or diehard like, well, the eye test should matter, right? And so you look at it and you say, well, Georgia lost to Alabama, but should they be punished? They went undefeated. Yes, they did not win a conference championship.
Yep.
And the precedent has been set. If you don't win a conference championship, you get left out. Let's say it again. Ohio State, Michigan, when they didn't win, when Ohio State beat them and Ohio State got in, and they subsequently lost to Alabama in the championship game, but they didn't get in. So if Georgia loses to Alabama, Georgia should not get in. Alabama should get in their place. Point simple.
I agree, because you would be giving them too much credit for something that happened the last 2 years and not something that happened this year. And we really didn't play a tough schedule. And then you look at against the spread. They're 4-7-1 against the spread. So
thank you.
They haven't really won games like they are expected to do.
Exactly.
They have a lot of close games. So it's almost like with Georgia, the thing is for every good win, you can point to an ugly win. And wins are wins. They don't matter. I mean, we have a couple ugly wins too, but it's just when you're talking about them not being a Power 5 champion, I think I think they get the bump, and I think you somehow let Nick Saban get back in there.
Right. Well, and the thing is, this is what makes me like just fires me up about this argument is this is these the playoffs is for the best four teams this season. Not the best four teams, and then also, oh, whoever was the previous champion last year and the year before that. Right. Because if that was the case, then 2014 never happens. Florida State is the number one team, which they should have been the whole season. But because they didn't, because they kept saying, well, Florida State didn't have game control, even though they were the best last year, they're not the best this year. Okay, well, then if Georgia loses, they're not the best this year. Alabama's the best in the conference. Alabama deserves to be in, not Georgia.
Right, and it's all about how you're playing at the end, and if they're able to go in and beat them, because Alabama was a different team early in the season, and that's something that I feel like even when you bring up with Texas, that's a different team. Like, you look at the way Texas has played. Now, I know they beat the brakes off Texas Tech last week. They're not any good, but I think if you were – if they were in the SEC this year and that was the SEC championship, I'm putting my money on Alabama this time around. But let's set the stage a little bit before we give kind of how we think things are going to shake out. Let's just talk about some resumes real quick. So – talking about the first four here, you have Georgia, Michigan, Washington, and I kind of went with how I think it's going to go. And I think you're going to have Florida State make it in at fourth. We followed the AP poll that's already come out. We know that doesn't that comes out on Sunday. So your strength of schedule rankings for your top four, Georgia comes in at 59th, Michigan at 36, Washington at 46, and Florida State at 56. So you're not the highest, but you're also not the lowest.
Right.
Now, your strength of record, you come in third, where Georgia comes in fourth, Michigan is at first, Washington is at second, you're at third. So, again, you know, people talk about Florida State's resume and this, that, and the other, but you still have a tougher strength of schedule than what Georgia has right now. You have a better strength of record. You know, you are 2-0 against the top 25, where Georgia's 3-0, Michigan is 2-0, and Washington is 3-0. And this is current top 25 because I don't necessarily count games that happened way back when, because it, like we just talked about, teams can be different. That Duke win looks totally different now than it did back then. So, again, but all these teams have – they're obviously these are the undefeated teams, but everybody's got a couple of top 25 wins. Now, just to add a few metrics into here and kind of our own version of the rankings here, I did scoring offense versus scoring defense. You can see Georgia's good. They're top 10 in both. They're balanced. Michigan has the 13th best offense and the number one scoring defense in the country. But I just want to sidetrack. I just want to sidetrack real quick talking about the Big Ten here, because this is something that goes for Ohio State too, and they're further down the line. But when you look at the Big Ten, they have four of the top five scoring defenses in all of college football between Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State, and I forget who the other one was, but they have a lot. Iowa, there you go, Iowa. They have four of the top five. So I got to thinking, and I'm like, are they just really that good? Because, you know, you don't think of the offense in the Big Ten, or the offense is just that bad. Well, they also have seven scoring offenses ranked 85th or below, and that includes Ohio State, your second, well, I guess your third best team in the conference, but, you know, technically your second best team in the conference is 85th or below. So the other thing that kind of I started asking, is this a chicken or the egg situation? Is this where you have a bunch of good defenses playing a bunch of that are just shutting down regular college offenses? Or is this where you just have they're feasting on a bunch of terrible offenses? And so I kind of looked at how they did points per game allowed, out of conference, and versus conference opponents. So when you talk about the Big Ten average points per game versus out of conference opponents this season is 21.1. Against in-conference opponents, it's 22.5. So they're scoring less points against out-of-conference defenses. So now when you talk about points given up by these vaunted Big Ten defenses, they're giving up out-of-conference 24.4 points per game. Points allowed in-conference is 22.5. So again, that kind of points the picture there that other conferences, your out-of-conferences offenses have been able to put up more points, and they've also given up less points. So I don't, Michael, I just don't think it's really that situation there. I think that it's you have these defenses that I'm not saying they're not good, but when you watch that Michigan Ohio State game, there was nothing on the offensive side of the ball that really blew you away there. I mean, McCarthy made a couple of ridiculous throws, but there was nothing there that really made you go, wow, these teams are really good. And it just, like I said, it in my mind, it was, is it that good a defense or is it just that bad of offense? And when you talk about seven of your conference opponents are ranked 85th or below, I think it's more of a bad offense. And yep. I'll kick it back to you. But real quick, I just want to point out here on the slide that we have up for those watching on YouTube, Washington is 11th in offense. So they're kind of right there with everybody else, 8, 13, 11, and 10. But their defense is struggling. 48th, they are the outlier to these rankings. And then Florida State's defense comes in at 11th. So Florida State's really balanced at 10th and 11th in your scoring offenses here. But, yeah, Michael, I think just when we talk about these Big Ten teams, man, I think it's a lot of feasting on bad offenses that make their defenses look good. And that's why I think that Florida State, I think they deserve to be in these rankings. I mean, that was a good game between those two. It was close. It was tight. Obviously, one of them lost in Ohio State, but it was a good game. I'm not saying it wasn't. I'm not trying to act like this was Wake Forest versus Syracuse or something like that.
But right.
I don't think you watched that game and went, nah, I don't think we have a chance to beat them, especially in a neutral site field. I don't see that as the case. And I don't think anyone's really scared of Washington.
Yeah, no. Even with Tate Rodemaker, against either Ohio State or Michigan, let's say Florida State got in the playoff and was playing either one of them, I would not be afraid of that game. I would say we actually have a chance to win those games because, I mean, you look at what they did, like the stats that you just gave, especially the out-of-conference stat. Let me just give you those two schedules, Ohio State and Michigan, okay? Ohio State played Youngstown State, 35-7 win. They played Western Kentucky, 63-10 win, and then Notre Dame, 17-14 win, okay? Mm-hmm. Right? Now, that's their out-of-conference slate for Ohio State. Michigan, it's worse. They played East Carolina, 30-3, UNLV, 35-7, Bowling Green, 31-6. Their toughest test did not come until they played Penn State, 24-15, and then Ohio State, 30-27. They struggled against a Maryland team that's terrible this year at Maryland, 31-24. And they're going to play Iowa, which is, you know, I think the number two ranked defense in the country. But that Iowa game is against a defense that literally has played like nobody.
Yeah, I think that is a good point, too, when you talk about just the early season, some of those games, like listening to the numbers that you're telling me, 35, 31, 30, something like that. I know those teams aren't any good, but when you go and you look at what Florida State did against like Southern Miss and you put up 60 points, I mean, I didn't watch the game, so maybe they called the dogs off early. I don't know, but that's not overly impressive, 30-something points against that. So I think it makes you feel like it's more – they don't play a lot of great offenses. Now, that's not to say their defenses aren't good, but I actually did have a stat too when you talk about Michigan. So my notes on them is, first off, you have to acknowledge that they cheated for a majority of the season. It is what it is. Granted, you could also throw out that they didn't have their coach in the last three games, but they have only played four teams that had a winning record at the time of their game. So that means the first nine games, they only played one team with a winning record at that time. And then you look at the last of the four teams that they played that all had a winning record. Three of them were the final 3 weeks, and all of those were by single digits. So once they couldn't cheat, and once they started actually having to play real teams, the gap got really close. It started to close down. And so I think that's something that you saw with Washington too, is like, man, they've got some good wins when you talk about ranked teams. But then we look back at that stat that I shared earlier where 8 points, or eight consecutive games by 10 points or less, and they have some real stinkers in there because they've not all been those 10-point wins or less haven't been against good teams. We talk about 3-9 Arizona State, 27.5-point favorite, won by 8, 42-33 at Stanford, 3-9, 27.5-point favorite, won by 9, 24-21 against Washington State, 5-7 at home, 15.5-point favorite, won on a last-second field goal by 3 points, 5-6 against the spread, not really winning like they're supposed to. So, yeah, man, I think Florida State makes as good a case as anybody else. And real quick, we'll just look through 5 through 8 real quick at the resume here. So 5, 6, 7, and 8 in the AP poll is what I'm kind of – we're following the AP poll here as far as the graphic goes. Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, Alabama. Your strength of schedule, this is what's killing Oregon. Their strength of schedule is way down there. That's what we talked about. They just really haven't played anybody yet. Now, Ohio State, their strength of schedule is actually pretty high, 6. They are one of the highest in the top 8. Texas is at 13th. Bama's is at 31st. Then you look at your strength of record, 9th for Oregon, 5th for Ohio State, 6th for Texas, and 7th for Alabama. Versus top 25, Oregon 1-1. They did win and they did lose. And then you talk about Ohio State at 2-1, Texas at 2-1, Alabama at 3-1. Total offense, total defense. Oregon comes in a second on offense, seventh on defense. But again, we just talked about how their strength of schedule is pretty weak. Ohio State, 33rd on offense. Again, they're not great. That's their scoring offense. I know I talked about some of their offense earlier. The defense comes in a second. Texas, 22nd on offense, 12th on defense. Alabama, 17th in scoring offense and 14th in scoring defense. So, yeah, Michael, I just, man, when I look at these and I remember in my head that Florida State was around 56 in the strength of schedule.
Yeah.
I think third in the strength of record and 10th and 11th, right on par with basically everybody. I think the only one that has two of them that are higher than you, like in both categories, would be Georgia and Oregon. And we know Oregon hasn't quite played the schedule that you have. So I feel like Florida State, man, as long as they win with the backup, and I know some of these stats come with Jordan Travis as your quarterback, but you still have the other 21 playmakers around him that did not change. I feel like Florida State belongs to be in the rankings as much as anybody, as long as they win. And I think that's what they're going to be. I think this week you will see them jump up before. I think you're going to have just pretty much what I shared there. That's my opinion. I'll let you share yours. I think you're going to be Georgia, Michigan, Washington, Florida State at 4, Oregon, Ohio State. You might could swap Texas and Ohio State there. We'll see.
Yeah.
But then I think when you look at the conference championship game, I think you have Washington and Oregon is going to be a play to make it in. Florida State, Louisville, for Florida State anyway, not Louisville, is going to be a play to make it in. So there's some really big games this Saturday. But as long as Florida State wins, I think they have as much of a gripe to be in as anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me just say this. Like, I was just looking at Washington's schedule, and I mean, you have to take into account, I think, what you did in the graphic there. You know, USC is no longer ranked. Utah is no longer ranked. Those wins don't mean a hill of beans anymore now, right?
Right.
They were ranked at the time. And really, USC was on the decline when they beat them. But they needed 52 points to beat them. Yep. You know, USC, I think, put up 42 points. That Utah win, you know, that team, while Kyle Whittingham has done an incredible job with the backup QB all season, you know, that team was also on decline too as well. So if you look at it, and I think Oregon State is just getting some bias because they shouldn't be ranked, but they're ranked 22nd right now in the AP poll. So you beat Oregon State, you beat at the time they weren't ranked, but now they are ranked 14th, Arizona, and then you beat basically the fifth best team in Oregon. So but you struggled in all of those on defense. You barely won all those games. Like you said, they lead the Power Five in close wins this season, which I want to give them credit. I mean, that tells you they're a tough team to beat because they find ways to win. So I don't want to discredit that. But you also look at their defense, and the graphics showed, I mean, they're absolutely terrible on defense. What I think is going to happen, and I differ just a little bit on you, and I'll tell you why. I think you're going to see Georgia at 1, Michigan at 2, Washington at 3, Florida State at 4, Ohio State at 5, Oregon at 6. Here's why. Because Ohio State still has the better record as a one-loss team than Oregon does. They've played more ranked teams. They've beaten better ranked teams. And that I think the committee, my assumption is the committee is going to give them some credit for playing Ohio State. I mean, it came down to Michigan struggled. It was a back and forth game all game, but it came down to an interception at the end of the game for Michigan to seal that game. So I think my thought is that the committee might give them a little bit of a grace. And I just think that of the one loss teams, I think Ohio State is the best of the one loss. So if you put them up against Oregon, Texas, and Alabama, I think Ohio State has the better resume than those three. So I think Ohio State will be 5, then Oregon, Texas, Alabama.
Yeah, and for the graphic, I did follow the AP poll just because it was easy.
No, makes sense.
But I do think that Ohio State has a case to be number 5 because you're talking about, first off, they have better wins, and then their loss, and I hate saying good losses because loss is good, but you know, they lost to the number 2 team in the country.
And on the road.
It was on the road in front of 100,000 people. Now, granted, you didn't have your coach with Michigan, but yeah, man, that's it's hard to see them fall really far for a close game in front of 100,000 people. Right. I don't think they should get really too penalized for that. But I think, again, that's why you talk about the conference championship is so important, because that if Oregon wins over Washington,
that's right,
they can now jump 2 spots. spots and make it in. So
correct.
Really, if you're Ohio State, you just got to be sitting on the couch on Saturday and hoping for chaos. You got to be hoping yes. Florida State loses and that somebody, you know, maybe Washington loses, because you're going to need some kind of chaos there. And I think Washington, they're a play in too, because, you know, you just look at all the close games and they, like you said, they find a way to win. So they get credit for that. But, you know, even when you talk about a 31-24 win at Arizona, who's 9-3, Arizona hasn't beat anybody. They lost to Mississippi State, who I think is like 5-7. So
they're terrible. You know,
They were a 20.5-point favorite and won by 7. So I do feel like for Florida State, for Michigan, because it's the number 17 team in the country against Iowa, that I think a lot of people don't think is the second best team in the Big Ten, just by technicality with divisions, that's where they ended up. I think it's some play-in games, man. This is a de facto like first round of the playoffs for a lot of these teams, because it's not often that you have so many teams at the top that are undefeated that could be, you know, either one loss or undefeated Power Five champions. So yeah, man, I definitely think it's gonna be a really exciting Saturday from start to finish, because you have so many things that can alter the course of the season starting this Saturday. But yeah, man, I'm super excited to see it play out. I'm super excited that Florida State gets that opportunity. Like, that is what we've been waiting on for so long, and to get that opportunity against a potentially ranked team. But you know, we'll see how things go tomorrow night when the committee drops their rankings on Tuesday. I fully expect Florida State to be back in the top four with a one-game season. And that's it, man. You get that win, and you still got everything you want in front of you.
That's
right. Because I think it would be a complete shame and of the college football system that we have to leave them out when they won all their games. That's what you ask people to do. Win all your games as a Power
Five. Win the games that are in front of you.
Right. This isn't like UCF back whenever with their fake national championship where you beat a bunch of bad teams. Like, you won, you beat LSU, you won at Clemson, you beat Florida, you beat Miami, you beat all these teams.
Yep.
You deserve to be in. And I think that's going to be the case. We just hope for no funny business, or you know, we might have to go pay old Boo. We might have to go find old Boo. But yeah, man, I think it's going to be all good. I think Florida State's going to be right where they want to be, with a chance to solidify, to kind of concrete things with that game against Louisville. So any final thoughts before we get out of here?
No, man. Again, I agree with you. I think Florida State, you know, they should be fourth. You know, they should be right there in the thick of things. Listen, I've been saying it since Jordan went out. Look, to go 4-0, you have to go 1-0. They did it. To go 4-0, you got to go 2-0. So that, as Mike Norvell says, they can only control the controllable. And right now, the controllable is beat Louisville. You beat Louisville, you're in. Simple as that.
Yep. You just got to focus on playing your best game, because we know Florida State, they got a good defense. They have been typically good on special teams outside of one or two plays this season. And, you know, how many times in the last few years has a team won that did not play good defense?
Correct.
So as long as your defense can play the way that they have, that we've seen in the fourth or the second half of games all season long, and just put the clamps on people, and your offense can find some rhythm.
Right.
Man, I like us. I do. I like us, man. And I think it all starts on Saturday against Louisville. So, like I said, guys, we'll be back on Wednesday for a full-on game preview. We're going to do a deep dive into this Florida State-Louisville matchup. I put it on social media just to kind of let you guys know again. I'm going to be tagging along with Charlotte Seminole Club for their game day festivities that Saturday at Clutch in Charlotte. So if you guys are going to be up there, it's like a 5-minute walk from the stadium. There's no cover charge or anything like that. So if you see me, make sure you say hi if you're there. And check us out again on Wednesday. I don't normally ask for this stuff, but because I always forget, to be honest. But if you guys watched the video this far, do us a favor and like and subscribe so you stay notified, so you stay connected with all the content that we're putting out here, because we've really been trying to ramp it up for you guys lately. Yep. So as always, we appreciate you tuning in. We appreciate your support. And we'll see you in a couple days with the Louisville preview. Go Noles.